The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, Anna Runkle says she is not a doctor, she's not a therapist, but she is someone who grew up in a rough family that was deeply affected by addiction and all that goes with it. She says she wants to help people to heal from a crappy childhood, and that's where the Crappy Childhood Fairy was born. She joins us now to tell us more. Great to have you on the show, Anna.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I love that. The Crappy Childhood Fairy. It's great.
Yeah, it's a really nice business card to hand out.
I'm sure it is. So tell us your story then. What's your background and why did you decide to start this?
Well, I grew up in the late 60s and 70s, living in a commune in Berkeley, California during the hippie phase. And a lot of people think of those times as peace and love, but in reality in Berkeley, it was a lot of like drugs and broken relationships. And I was one of many kids who sort of suffered through that. And it led to a lot of neglect and sometimes abuse. Because my mother was an alcoholic and drug addict, we had a lot of the problems that were typical in any kind of family where that's going on. We were poor, we became much poorer. There was some violence, there was neglect, and there was often nobody supervising us. And when you're an unsupervised kid, creepy people know to shadow you and, you know, try to break down your boundaries. So trouble's always around the corner when you grow up in an environment like that.
And at what stage did you get away? Did you leave? Did you leave and did you manage to get help?
There's not really help for that kind of thing, especially back then. But I graduated from high school a year early, and I left the very next day forever. And I moved to another state and started out on my own. But the thing about childhood trauma is that it tends to find its way into your life. So even when nobody's doing it to you anymore, the trauma is still being expressed through the way you have relationships, the way you handle stress, the way you perceive having to, you know, interact with the world. And people have different adaptations. Me, I was an overfunctioner. I just thought if I work hard enough, if I never stop, if I, get perfect grades, I can transcend this thing that I came from. And it was very, you know, when I was young, it was very hard for me to understand that just about every problem in my life was trauma driven, but that wasn't obvious at first. But it really, it just can leak into everything. It causes physical health problems. We now know.
Yes. You know, yes.
And I had all the classic physical health problems. And I finally at 21 tried therapy, and it didn't go very well. I was encouraged to talk a lot about what had happened. I didn't get a lot of help for the problems that I was having in present time, which was like being with terrible boyfriends and feeling like I couldn't leave. That was kind of a chronic problem for me. But also this feeling like, I always felt sick to my stomach. I was pushing myself so hard. I smoked a lot of cigarettes. I didn't get into drugs and alcohol myself, which I think is probably just genetics. It's not because I didn't give them a chance. It didn't feel good to do drugs and alcohol so much for me. I think other people, it like fixes something. So that's very attractive. But I was into achievement and trying to have like an amazing relationship. And I really ended up sabotaging both of those goals.
It's interesting, isn't it, that everything comes back to your childhood. Even if you've had a good childhood or an average childhood, you know, it shapes the person that you are when you're an adult.
Starts there, but I think something that's a little underappreciated is how once you're an adult, a lot of what's traumatizing you is your own self-defeating behaviors. Mm. And I totally acknowledge that growing up with trauma kind of leaves you with a pattern like that, but there's literally no one but yourself who's going to come in and change those patterns for you.
Mm. But then how do you find out how to then? Is that what the book, Connectability, is about, teaching you how to let yourself free?
Well, yeah, it's the connection wound in particular. You know, last year I came out with my book Reregulated about the central role of your nervous system. When you have having a dysregulated nervous system is part and parcel of childhood trauma. Everybody gets dysregulated sometimes, but people who are traumatized, get dysregulated more often. It's worse. It's harder to come back out of. And until recently, nobody had, there wasn't even a word for this. And it was 2014. I first read in the literature about dysregulation. So I had been treating my dysregulation with a couple of techniques I discovered 30 years ago that made me feel better. That's all I knew. They made me feel better. They gave me emotional relief. I did them twice a day, like my friend told me to do. And I'm just one of those people where going to talk therapy, I tried 11 different therapists and it made me feel worse. And this made me feel better. And I learned to, what I now know was going on is I was re-regulating my nervous system. Now, once you can do that, you can start, what comes into focus is, what am I doing that's screwing up my life here? And I think that in therapy culture, there's just so much emphasis on what happened. My mom was always so interesting to them and all her problems. But I don't think talking about the past is the end all be all of healing. It's something that needs to happen at some point so that you can be known, so that you can be validated. But then it's time to focus on what's going on with me. What are the symptoms? And I learned when I started Crappy Childhood Fairy 6, 7, 8 years ago, I started putting videos out there about just weird things about myself, stuff that was hard for me, being, you know, going to a party and always being convinced people didn't really want me there and that I didn't fit in. And when I started putting this out there, so many people resonated. I realized this isn't just me. It's a common symptom for people who were traumatized, and other kinds of people feel that way too. People who are maybe on the autism spectrum, people who are naturally introverted, but there's something about childhood trauma that we now know causes an injury, if you will, an injury to your neurological sense of connection and ability to connect. And it comes from different aspects of the traumatic experience. Part of it is behavioral, social. Your parents didn't teach it to you. But also, if nobody was looking in your eyes and interacting with you when you were a baby enough at the time, you may not even have developed the neural framework to be a connectable person. So what we always can do when we're learning to heal, whether things are, you know, sometimes the injuries are hard to heal and sometimes they're easy to heal. So we just get busy. So the book is a way to zero in. I've named 8 ways that people come. They're just very common obstacles to connection that you can learn. Some people learned it at home. Some people are naturally this way. You know, maybe people are naturally good at setting boundaries or their parents taught it to them. And the rest of us have to teach ourselves. And some of the hardest ones to have, these obstacles to connection, are an avoidant tendencies. And that's why I have to talk about re-regulation again in this book, because our tendency to get dysregulated, which affects our ability to focus, to connect with people, to regulate our emotions, not lash out, to control our bodies, you know, not trip over things. It's staying regulated. It's just like the ultimate platform from which you can become who you really are. But if you are not regulated, it's almost impossible to feel connected. And many of us have stopped connecting, maybe not consciously, but we've gotten into avoidant behavior to control the dysregulation, to control the way we respond to stress. It's just too stressful to be around people, so we don't go to the party. We stop dating. We stay alone for the holidays or don't go to the big group thing. And then that can really add up. That can add up. And next thing you know, you're a very isolated person. And boy, is that common right now.
Yeah. And then that's not a good place to be either, is it? To be an isolated person.
Oh, there's so many problems with it. And among them is that it can cause PTSD. It starts because you have some of it. It can make it worse.
It's interesting because I know what PTSD is, post-traumatic stress disorder, and I'd heard of CPTSD, and I assumed the C stood for childhood, but it doesn't. It stands for complex.
It stands for complex, and complex means it happened over, you know, many, many, many incidents. Instead of one terrible car crash or something, it's just living under chronic intense stress. Perhaps in a household where there was fighting or getting bullied at school, or I think it happens to kids who have to move frequently or who are immigrants and they're left out. They don't speak the language. Their parents have odd ideas about discipline or something, and they're left out. And but so there are a lot of ways that you can experience this chronic stress that causes complex PTSD, but most commonly it's from neglect and abuse in childhood.
I think it's also important to not play the blame game. It's not necessarily your fault if this is how you are. You can do something about it, but it is all part of growing up. It's not your fault, is it?
Well, when kids are abused and neglected, it is in no way their fault. And it causes, I think what's been a great relief to people, certainly who follow me, and to me when I heard that there's a name for this, it's called complex PTSD. I mean, I was using my daily practice, but I thought that I was some uniquely messed up person who just wasn't very good. just had really unpleasant problems and characteristics and really should try better to be a good person. And it's not about being a good person. I had very typical trauma symptoms. And once you know that, then this huge piece of shame comes off. But I think many helpers and experts have mistaken the need to get that shame off of us with just acting like, oh, well, we can just talk about the perpetrators forever and then we'll be okay. But there's this damage that's been done, and it's your nervous system. And, you know, people who were abused and neglected in childhood have a much higher rate of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, reproductive disorders, autoimmune disorders. I could go on and on, as well as the things that we've known for a while, like depression, addiction, anxiety. So something real is going on. And I sometimes get people who go, oh, come on, aren't we all traumatized? Or shouldn't you just get over it? And I would just point out that we've probably all met a dog who was abused or neglected. And you try to befriend the dog, and the dog wants to be your friend and maybe wags its tail, but it's shaking and quivering and cowering and pees on the floor. Like, trauma is real and it does something to the body. And so healing that is, in my experience, only a small part of it is about talking about what happened. The people who abused me are completely to blame for the abuse, but they're not here. They're not even alive. And even if they were, I don't think they would take responsibility. And even if they did, could they improve the way that I had unhealthy relationships? No, I don't think they could now. So now the task on each of us is, you know, can I work on some of the toughest problems I have in my life? And I've found that if you have some tools that are meaningful and that help you get some re-regulation, some emotional relief when you're having very intense feelings, and then you have a group of people or a community of people around you, at least one good friend who gets it, who understands what it is, who doesn't try to talk you out of it, but also doesn't indulge you in just talking about why this happened to you, but more about, like, for example, I was very neglected as a kid, and then I would have a pattern of getting into relationships with unavailable men. That's a known pattern. You know, neglect leads to that behavior. But what good is it for me to talk about how many times my mom did that to me? It doesn't change the pattern in me. Mm-hmm. So it's good to know, but at a certain point, the work has to kick in. Yeah. Where I say, I need to change this pattern. And I don't know how yet, but I'm going to find out. And if you have good tools for sort of facing reality and friends to help you do that, and they share these goals and they don't try to talk you out of it, because that's what I used to get. If I would get into a relationship with somebody I really shouldn't be in a relationship with, I used to have friends I could go to who would always blame the man. And finally, one day said, someone, it was my first marriage, somebody, I was complaining and complaining after my divorce. And he's so terrible. And he's so terrible. And this friend said, well, you married him. You know, your words had never been said. But now we have the problem. Now we have the thing that I can change. Now we have something that is my job to do differently.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting as well, you said about therapy. I think you and I are a similar age, and I also went to see therapists in my 20s. And I think that's changed massively, because it used to be, as I think you were saying, you'd go and sit down and they would just ask you questions about your childhood, and they just ask, you couldn't ask them questions, you couldn't have a conversation. It was just, they were asking you questions. Why are you like this? You know, is it your parents? Is it your childhood? Now I know youngsters that go to therapy and they sit down and they have a proper conversation, and it's entirely different.
Yeah, well, I think it's entirely different from provider to provider. There's a lot going on right now. And I really urge people, like, if a particular type of therapy or person providing therapy feels like it's draining you and feels bad, change. Try something new. There are a lot of choices out there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I'm sure your book can help as well. I think the good thing as well as us talking about this sort of subject, is that we are understanding more, like you said, about the physical health problems that come from trauma. We're really learning more about that now, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. And it's very good to know. I think traumatized people, we make up the most expensive population for healthcare. And I'm looking forward to the day when the healthcare systems take a keen interest in what people are doing that changes their health.
Yeah.
And when I learned to re-regulate, my blood composition changed. I stopped having asthma. I stopped having back and knee pain. I stopped having migraines. There's a lot that I was able to do for my own health. And then from time to time, we all get older and then we die. We're not going to live forever, but we can live so much more fully. And in addition to our physical health, it's that capacity to have loving mutual relationships with other people that makes life good.
Yeah, I agree. And I could honestly speak to you forever, Anna. I really could. I think we're going to have you on the show again, but sadly we're out of time. So I will tell our listeners about the book, which is called Connectability: Heal the Hidden Ways You Isolate, Find Your People, and Feel at Last Like You Belong. It doesn't come out till October, though, I believe.
Right, October 7th.
Okay, and the previous one was Re-Regulated.
Re-Regulated, you can get that right now.
So do you have a website for The Crappy Childhood?
Yes, crappychildhoodfairy.com. And where most people go to start dipping their toe into my work is YouTube. And my channel is called Crappy Childhood Fairy.
Great name. Anna, it's been lovely to chat to you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Been a pleasure. Bye-bye.